I ask you guys a lot of questions. I make you confess a lot of things to me when I'm up here, and I have one today too. I want to see by a show of hands, and I want you to be honest. Raise your hand if you were a rebellious child or rebellious teenager, if you got into a lot of trouble when you were a teenager. Oh, some surprises, some not surprises, right? Just curious, yeah. So I happened to not be one of those kinds of teenagers. It would be really dramatic and cool if I had been such a rebel and now I'm a pastor. But to be honest, when I was a teenager, I was a real goody two-shoes. And my personal act of rebellion, growing up with atheist parents who didn't believe in God or church, was going to church and getting involved in youth group. That was my personal rebellion. And my parents didn't understand it, but they were glad that I was involved in something that kept me out of the other kinds of trouble that my friends were getting into. But because I was involved in church and I was this goody two-shoes, I really didn't live with a lot of rules. There weren't a lot of explicit, strict rules that I had to follow because my parents really trusted me. I didn't get into a lot of trouble. And there was an incident that happened when I was a teenager that kind of reminds me of this gospel story this morning, where because I didn't have rules and I did what I wanted to do and didn't do anything bad, supposedly, there was one night where I stayed out with friends on a Friday night at a friend's house watching a movies, until like 2 a.m. And I went home. I didn't rush. I went home and walked in the door ready to go to bed, and there my dad was sitting on the stairs in the dark like something out of a movie waiting for me. And he had been worried sick, and every minute that went by, he got more and more angry at me. So by the time I walked in, he was livid, and he said with all this indignance, I remember, "Young lady, where have you been? Do you really think this is okay?" And my honest response was, "Dad, I honestly did not even know I had a curfew. We have never talked about it." And he laughed because he realized that was true, and then we did talk about it. But that's the kind of thing that some of you may relate to, some of you not. A lot of you probably got into a lot more trouble than that. But I think that Jesus' parents felt some of that same worry. I think there's a thread there. I think that they were probably even frantic with worry because losing a child in Jerusalem after the Passover festival would be like losing a child in Times Square on New Year's Eve. That is no exaggeration. There were that many people coming to Jerusalem for this festival, and to realize that you don't have your kid would have been panic-inducing. And then after all their searching, 3 days they didn't know where he was, where do they find him? In the temple. It's kind of ironic. You almost can't stay mad. Can you imagine searching all those days, and then where do you find your kid? In church? By choice? That's what they chose to do? Not get in trouble, but come to church? I wonder how you would feel if you were the parents. It's kind of confusing. They didn't know what to think. Now, we need to back up for a second because, like I said, this is the only story about Jesus at this age. In all the Gospels, this is all we hear about him. He's 12 years old, and it's no accident that Luke put this in the Gospel because 12 was this pivotal age in that culture, in between being a boy and being a man. So this was really important, this pivotal age before he's about to be an adult. And all these other stories about heroes in their culture, some of their leaders, they would always include a story just like this, a story from when the hero was a teenager to show what kind of an adult are they going to be? So this is a really important story for that reason. And if we look back at the story, we can look at Mary's response too and think she's also showing us something about what Jesus is going to be. Because Mary did not like what Jesus did, and she let him know it. She told him. She called him out on it. But like many commentators, I have to say, I think maybe Mary and Joseph's response is a little censored, a little sanitized. A lot of them have been parents to teenagers, and I haven't. But even I have to say, something doesn't feel right when the response to 3 days of searching is, "Child, why do you treat us so? Behold, we were looking for you." Is that what you would say if this had happened to you? That's not what my dad said. I gave you the sanitized version of what he said. So this is her response to him at first. She gets mad, but not too mad. And I think it's because Mary would not have forgotten when she first gave birth to the baby Jesus, she got this prophecy about him. The prophet Simeon came to her, and he said, "A sword shall pierce your soul, shall pierce Mary's soul, for this child shall be rejected by many in Israel, and this to their undoing. But he will be the greatest joy of many others." So she had gotten this prophecy barely after he was born about who he was going to be. She knew this was a holy child. This child had this huge future ahead. And this huge future was going to be wonderful and terrible. She knew that. So she would not have relished a sign that her little Jesus was growing up. And that's exactly what this was. Now, my question to you with this story is, was this little act of rebellion that Jesus did something that he had to do? Did God call him to do it? You know, was it something he had to do, or was he just being a normal teenager? Was he just doing what normal teenagers do? A lot of us, when we think of teenagers, if you even mention teenagers to adults, they'll remember that time. They'll roll their eyes or laugh or blush. They'll think of all the embarrassments of that time, all the struggles. We've all been there ourselves, and we remember how over the top every experience in those teenage years can be. But it's not entirely fair to paint all teenagers as rebellious or dramatic or emotional. They aren't all like that. Like I said, I was pretty good. I didn't get into a lot of trouble. But one thing that's true, I think, of all kids at that age, every kid that age, is that we want to experiment with what it's like to make our own decisions, to differentiate ourselves from the people who raised us, to question everything and then see what's left that feels like you, that makes sense to you, not because you were told to think that way. That's something kids do at that age, I think, in every age, back when Jesus was young and at this age too. That's a big task for kids that age. Now, this age, teenagehood, as well as young adulthood, can be really scary for the parents, not just because of the trouble that your kids might get into, but also because it is a time when your child is truly becoming their own person, right? That's so exciting to watch, but it can also be really scary. That might mean that they stop going to church for a while. That might mean that they put aside traditions that you all hold dear in order to explore what really makes sense to them. This is scary, but those of us who have been there also know it's really a healthy thing to do at that age. And Jesus was no different. In this way, he was just a normal teenager. Christians all say, well, the thing that makes us unique is that we believe Jesus was fully God and fully human, became like one of us in every way. And so if that's the case, then that has to include this awkward in-between stage of adolescence, right? This time of life that so many people look back on and think, oh man, I would never go back. Even the celebrities, everybody struggles during this in-between adolescent stage. I looked up celebrity quotes about being a teenager and I found some funny ones. The beautiful people in our culture, what they have to say. If you all know Uma Thurman, she said, "I spent the first 14 years of my life convinced that my looks were hideous." Uma Thurman. And Johnny Depp said, "I was convinced I had absolutely no talent at all. I was so insecure." Jamie Lee Curtis, when asked if she could go back to being a teenager, said, "I've done a lot of hard things. Maybe I could do it for a day, but I wouldn't want to go back. I really wouldn't." These are the icons, the celebrities of our culture saying, man, that time was tough. So if you're in that time and you think it's hard, be validated. It is a hard time because there's so much growth, so many questions. We all remember. And surely it would have been hard for Jesus too. You know, he didn't live in a time with Facebook and text messages and all the current temptations and things you guys deal with, but he would have been in this in-between time. He would have felt the insecurity of figuring out who he really is. And that's all a part of the incarnation. That's all a part of being one of us human beings. It's not all holy songs and silent nights and away in a manger. It's not all the sweet baby Jesus. It's also this awkward time. And I think there's lessons that we can learn from the teenage Jesus. I think that the task that is so evident to our teenagers, that's so in their faces, is something we need to learn from. And that's the task of daily figuring out who you're supposed to be in the world. Figuring out what God would like you to do with this situation in your life, with who you are. That's so evident to teenagers because they're figuring it all out. Sometimes God has a purpose for you that is truly terrifying. And Jesus was starting to figure that out, as were his parents. But I really doubt that Jesus at age 12 truly knew what was in store for him. I doubt he knew about the suffering on the cross or knew all about baptism and making disciples. He was only 12. I don't think he knew all of this yet. But he did sense this need to mature, to push himself, to go and ask questions of people who could teach him. And so, too, we all can work on trying to figure out who God is making us to be, what God is giving us in our life to shape us in that same way. We all still have a lot of growing up to do, whatever age we may be. I think it was tempting for Mary, and probably tempting for us, too, to just think about the sweet baby Jesus. Babies are magical. They are warm and innocent and happy, and it's easier to think of him that way. But just like Jesus, our faith has to grow up. Our faith has to come of age. And that means some awkwardness and some insecurity and some in-between feelings. We need to take a cue from teenagers and allow ourselves to ask the hard questions, to wander off from the path that's expected of us, to not simply accept who we are based on what culture tells us, or even what our family tells us, but to figure it out with God for ourselves. It's our hard work to do. And each one of us has to do that in our corners of the world, to wrestle with what it means to be created for this time and place with your particular gifts, your limitations, your strengths. This might be a really welcome idea for those people out there who maybe had a bad childhood, who dealt with a stifling environment or even abuse. This might be a really welcome task for you folks, because to think about what God has planned for your life, that could be really freeing and exciting, really hopeful. I think this task of growing up in faith is harder for those of us who had what we would describe as a charmed life in our childhood, which I did. Those of us who were really convinced and sure of how much people loved us, how much they believed in us. People who grew up thinking the whole world is full of possibilities. You know, when you grow up with that, it's sometimes harder to face some of the tough realities and to grow up and mature and help and get God's help in figuring all that stuff out. It can be harder for us. But the maturity God calls us to is not always warm and safe and sentimental. It is hard, and Jesus went through it too. So we can learn from him. And I think we can also learn from Mary, this mother of a teenager. She responded to the disobedience with anger at first, of course. But then she did something really cool and really interesting, different. She pondered what Jesus had said. When she confronted him, "Why did you do this? Why did you wander off?" His answer was, "Why would you expect to find me anywhere else but here?" And she didn't yell anymore. She pondered and she treasured his words in her heart. She thought about it. Now, mind you, she did not fully understand him. Like many parents of your kids, she didn't understand exactly what Jesus was saying, what was going on in his mind, but she pondered it and stored it in her heart. So if you're the child out there, or the parent, or both, it's a journey that we're on, and that is one of the best things that we can do, is to stop and ponder and wonder. We're invited to do that in the life of faith. And as we come into this new season of fall, another fresh start, this is the perfect time to look at life and look at what God is doing in you, to stop and consider and ponder and wonder and even treasure all the things that God has yet to reveal to you. Amen.